The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
It's a classic story about temptation and a downfall into adultery and even murder by someone who is said to be a man after God's own heart and loved God greatly. Calamitous consequences ensue, but it is also a story of God's grace. What are the steps to a downfall like this? Let's talk about it here on Grace in Focus. Glad you've joined us, friend. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is faithalone.org. We have a magazine called Grace in Focus. It is full-length, full-size, great articles, great color. You will enjoy this magazine, and we want you to have it for free. All we need is your snail mail address, and we can send it to you. And the only exception to free is that if you live outside of the 48 contiguous United States, you need to pay the postage. Otherwise, we want you to have it, and you can get signed up for it today at faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Well, Philippe, you suggested this title, so we're going to use it. It's the story of the missing shower curtain.
I got that idea from you because you brought up the matter of there wasn't a shower curtain there for Bathsheba.
The story of David and Bathsheba is David goes up on the rooftop. He's supposed to be out at war when they're out at war, but he's not. He sends
out Joab to lead the army where he should have been himself.
Right.
You know, out there, but he's taking his leisure.
Right.
You know.
And he goes up on the rooftop and he spies on another rooftop, Bathsheba, taking a bath. And she doesn't have any curtain around her bathtub. In fact, I remember Sean Lazar spoke at one of our regional conferences, and he said, this was where the Shark Tank came up with the idea of the shower curtain because Bathsheba should have had a curtain around her bathtub. But this missing shower curtain had all kinds of ramifications. It had ramifications for one of David's 30 mighty men.
By the name of Uriah.
Uriah.
One of his great warriors.
Wasn't he a Hittite, I think?
Yeah, he's called Uriah the Hittite. But David had a number of, I call them mercenaries from various of the nations that were part of his private guard.
He had like
inner circle, a Philistine, a Hittite,
we call it
and others.
30, you know. But there were actually three that were the most important, and then there were 30 more. So there were like 33 total. And these were all mighty men. And this guy gets caught up, but he is the husband of Bathsheba. But he's off where he should be at war while Bathsheba is taking this bath. And so what David does is not very honorable, not very godly. But I think
it's a classic story of temptation because it mirrors a little bit about the temptation in Genesis 3 and then lit on with Achan. And
so how does it mirror, let's say, Genesis 3? Because like Eve saw that it was desirable.
Yeah, so it was good for food, that it was beauty to the eye and desirable to make one wise.
And so
it goes there in Genesis 3.
And David would see that she was desirable.
Yes.
And it kind of shows that a man after God's own heart, which is what David's called, and as you mentioned on a previous show, he's going to be the prince. Ezekiel tells us that he will be the prince in the coming kingdom, ruling under Jesus over the nation of Israel. Even so, he had a colossal fall. Not only did he commit adultery, but he tried to cover it up. And when he couldn't cover it up, he committed murder. And so here we have an example of God's great grace. He should have died for either the adultery or the murder. But when Nathan confronts David, David confesses, he suspends the capital punishment.
Yeah, Nathan says, you shall not die, but there will be very serious consequences. But God, there was no sacrifice for David to offer for what he did. He talks about that in Psalm 51.
That's right, because there were no sacrifices for what the Old Testament calls the sin of the high hand, right?
That's a deliberate disobedience of God's commandments, a presumptuous sin.
So what chapter are we looking at here?
So we're in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and this is after the Davidic covenant, you know, occurred, the great promises.
In chapter 7.
And now we're in chapter 11, where when kings go out to battle, but David didn't. And then it says, verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold.
That is kind of like Genesis 3, and the fruit was very beautiful. Now yes. Here she's very beautiful.
Right. And so in Genesis 3, of course, Eve then took and ate, and then she gave to her husband who ate with her. But here, you know, David sends and inquires about the woman.
Now, that was a mistake, right?
Right.
He shouldn't be sending and inquiring about anything. He should be going back into his house and going, Lord, I'm so sorry I saw that. Please take that vision.
Now, you
away
go to a
me.
Beach and somebody is nude sunbathing, it's best to turn away walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you probably don't want to go to that kind of beach, but if you happen to get there by mistake, it would be best to leave. Yeah.
Yes. And so he sends, and she's identified. This is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He is one of his great warriors. And David, again, he inquires, and then he sends messengers to bring her to him. She came to him, and he lay with her. She conceived and sent to David, saying, I am with child.
The Grace Evangelical Society's recently published Old Testament Commentary, Volume 1, is now available. Find it at faithalone.org/store. It's where you can also find Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, as well as many other titles by Grace Evangelical Society authors. Please come by and have a look today. You'll find the GES store at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org/store. Now, back to today's topic.
There are a series of false steps that David takes. We could call these a series of sins. But stopping short of actually committing adultery is better than actually committing adultery. You know, some people get confused by when Jesus talks about, you have heard, but I say, you have heard, but I say.
Yeah, if you desire a woman in your heart, then you have committed adultery. In your heart.
But that's not to say that to commit adultery in your heart is identical to actually physically committing adultery. It is sin to commit adultery in your heart, but it's a greater sin to actually commit adultery. There doesn't appear to be the exception in Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9 about you can't divorce your spouse and marry another except in the case of immorality, porneia. In the case of immorality, you are permitted to divorce and remarry. Well, we're not told that that covers this particular issue. Maybe it does. That's the whole issue.
Yeah, there's various steps. You know, there's a fleeting look and desire that naturally arises, but it's what you do
then.
And
that's not sin.
And that's not sin. But you can turn away from that and not feed it.
Right.
And that's what David does is he feeds it. You know, he sends and inquires about her.
Yes.
And then he sends someone to bring her.
Now, that clearly he's gone over the line at that point.
Yes.
But it gets worse once you commit the act, because when you commit the act, now, Paul talks about sinning against the body and how it brings consequences. Mm-hmm. There can be transmitted diseases that occur and everything else. Now, none of that occurs here, but he has committed a sin that should result in physical death. That's why some people call it a mortal sin. The consequences for this could be premature death, mm-hmm. and were under the Old Testament. So here we have this taking place, and she says, I'm with child. So what should David have done at this point?
Probably confession and repentance.
And he probably should have gone to Uriah and said, I've sinned against you, and this is my child. But no, he has another plan in mind. So what is this plan
his initial plan to, again, cover it up, is to call for Uriah to take a break from battle and come home. And with the idea of laying with his wife and giving the impression that he is the father and not
so that David. When the child is born 9 months later, he's going to think, well, this is my son. But Uriah doesn't get with the program.
He acts righteously.
And how does he act righteously?
Well, he refuses to go inside his house and have sexual relations with his wife because his fellow soldiers are out there in danger, in battle, and he's not going to take his leisure.
So he just sleeps on the ground, right?
Right. The idea is that almost that he sleeps in the doorway and doesn't go in. And David repeatedly tries to get him to go, and he doesn't.
So when that happens,
he goes,
now David should be like, okay, Uriah, I need to tell you. But he doesn't do that either.
Uriah goes back to the battle, and David sends word to the commander, to Joab.
And what does he tell Joab to do?
And he tells Joab, send him in close to the wall of the city.
To
the fiercest fighting. David writes a letter to Joab giving all that instruction. And then says, was it a woman who cast a piece of a millstone on him from the wall so that he died? And says, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So he went in close to the wall and perished. So in his case, the archers shot from the wall at your servants, and some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.
And so David, although he does not literally kill Uriah, he's guilty of murder. Because he's like, he's hired a hitman. The hitman is Joab. And so he is killed at the command of David.
Yes. And with a written word sent to Joab to do all of that. And the word comes back to David, and David thinks, hey, I've taken care of it.
No,
everything is okay.
Not quite, right? Okay, so next time, we'll talk about the fallout of this because the prophet, God sends the prophet Nathan to confront David with a little parable.
Yes.
About a ewe lamb. And David is furious. And then when Nathan says, you are the man, then consequences come. And although we can see David at a low point, probably the lowest point in his life, his response to what the prophet said is excellent, and it's the kind of thing that all of us should emulate. So next time we'll look at David being confronted by Nathan, and we'll talk for a bit about the second half of Samuel, chapters 12 through 24, how David does experience a series of calamitous experiences as a result of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. All right, well, thanks so much, and let's all
keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On our next episode, How Nathan Confronts David. Please join us again, and in the meantime, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.